Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know it's more than a feeling. Jesus said it in his word, you cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything, he'll make it all right. He will make it all right. Oh.
I'm so thankful that the God we serve can make it all right. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayans. So thankful to be with you another week, and I know I say that every week, but it's so true. I do this show to encourage those of you who are, I consider, already overcomers, even though you still have obstacles in your way, even though you're still pushing through challenges, you're reaching every single day, and so that means you are already an overcomer, and I'm just here to say don't give up. The pressure's on and you feel like you want to, but don't, because if you quit, you'll never win. And I know for sure that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, even if you don't see it, even if you don't feel like it. And that wonderful intro music is by B. Renee Barnes, and she just shares, you know, don't give up. Just don't give in. You're going to trust in him. And tonight, we're going to be listening to Kendall Triplett, who's going to share with us his journey. And he is producer, writer, singer, and it hasn't always been easy. He's multi-talented, and yet the doors didn't just open. He's faced a number of obstacles along the way, and he's here tonight. And just a little background on Kendall. He is, as I said, multi-talented from Arkansas, and God is about to do big and great things through him. He's worked with wonderful writers and producers who've put out many artists that you know, like Kiki Sheard and Nicole Mullen, Marvin Sapp. I could just go on and on. But he's here tonight to share with us his journey and his music. Welcome, Kendall Triplett.
Thank you so much. I am excited to be here. I really appreciate this wonderful opportunity.
Well, I'm glad to have you, and it's just interesting how things work and connections are made. And I had Braxton Cosby on the show a few months back, and somehow through that connection, we got connected, and here you are. And I love the music. I love the sound. Your sound is very, I would say, universal. You know, I can't put you in a box when I listen to your sound and say, oh, he's just R&B or he's just, you know, contemporary Christian music. You really can cross the various genres very easily. And I think that's a great thing. I wanted to ask you, since you aren't necessarily distinct with a niche area, you know, to say, oh, he's definitely R&B, how did it come to you in terms of your singing and your music ministry? Did you, you know, grow up in church? Did you grow up listening to certain artists? How did you formulate who you are today?
Well, thank you so much for that wonderful compliment. My sound is really a combination of different people that I grew up listening to, like Shirley Caesar, Fred Hammond, Kirk Franklin. I also enjoyed a singer by the name of Larnell Harris.
Remember Larnell.
Yeah. So those are some very talented crooners. So I really enjoy the soft soul music, but I grew up in church singing. My father's a pastor. I grew up as a PK, so I grew up in church singing. Started singing around 5 years old, and I've been singing ever since.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Actually, you know, you say Larnell Harris, and for those of us who are old enough, we remember that Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris dominated the music scene for a long time there, and there's that sound. And now that you mention it, I can hear a little bit of that in your inflection, so that's really good that you bring that out. I'm curious now, you say you're a PK kid, So now, you know, whenever you hear that, sometimes the red flags go up and say, uh-oh, we're in for a ride of a story here. But what were you like in terms of as a child? You know, how were you molded as you were growing up?
You know, I was actually a good kid. I loved going to church. People could see my sincerity and my conviction when I was singing and just my whole enjoyment of being at church. And folks would often tell me, you know, you're going to be a preacher, you're going to preach one day. And I did not like hearing that. I shied away from that. My dream was to be a recording artist, so I didn't want to have anything to do with preaching, per se.
Well, that's interesting because, music ministry and the preaching of the word, they actually go hand in hand.
They do.
Do you see yourself combining both anytime in the future?
Oh, I definitely do now. I mean, completely do. That is my purpose. That's who I am now. But back then, I didn't accept that. And that really, I think that's what kind of kept me held back and depressed because I didn't fully embrace my purpose.
Wow. Now, you mentioned depression. As a young child, I'm asking this question. I recently posted an article regarding depression in young children, and it got so many hits that I was amazed. I really didn't expect that. And I don't think as a society we really think of children as suffering with depression or sadness or anything along those lines. So when you talk about this, how early did it start in your life?
Well, you know, while preparing for this interview, I was pondering on my childhood, and, you know, I can trace depression back early to my early years, younger years. In grade school, I was extremely overweight, and so I got teased a lot in school, and also I was not your typical boy. I enjoyed music. I just enjoyed doing things like that inside the house, tinkering on my mom's piano and just kind of keeping to myself. I didn't want to draw any attention to myself because I hated my image. I hated the way I looked. So as a result of that, I was always kind of, I felt like I didn't fit in and I didn't belong. And of course, you know, the boys talked about me. They called me a sissy and things of that, a church boy and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a fat soul and things like that. And you know, that can take a toll. That can have an effect on you. So, so early on, I started having, you know, feeling sorry for myself and having that self-pity.
Right. So, I mean, even phrasing this question sounds strange. I want to ask, how did you cope with that? But when you're a kid, you don't think about coping mechanisms, right? You're just trying
right.
to get one day at a time. But what did you do? Did you talk to your parents? You know, how did you find a way to deal? Did you even realize that what you were feeling wasn't necessarily good or normal?
Well, I would talk to my mom because I started having crying spells when she would drop me off at school, and I wouldn't want her to leave me, and so she would ask me, and I think we even met with a counselor, a school counselor, and they tried to figure out what was going on, and I don't know that I could even articulate it at that time. It went away, but so just talking to my mom and you know, the support of my family, that kind of helped ease things up. And also music was my oasis. I enjoyed getting away from everybody else and just listening to music and just kind of getting lost in that.
And, you know, it's true, music takes you away. It takes you away. It allows you to go to other places or the world in your mind and your spirit, in your emotion, you know, and if you're dealing
yes.
with depression or negativity, music can, you know, soothe that and lift you up and take you somewhere else. And it's interesting
yes.
because if you think about a lot of great musicians through history, whether it's classical music, whether it's, Prince or, you know, you get that line of thought that, you know, there's this rejection that's happening on the outside world and my only
yes.
solace here in the music.
Yes.
And I just wonder if that's just a part of the the musical brain. You know, that's something that comes along with the story of the music, but I only God knows that. So you grew up, you know, in a Christian home, and you had this, you know, sadness with you as a child. Did you have a personal relationship with the Lord at that time?
Well, I definitely did. I knew the Lord. I was baptized as a young boy. And, you know, I was in church all the time, and I loved church. I have a large family. There's seven of us. And so I was the only one that was eager to get up and go to church. I mean, anytime we were going, and we were going all the time, I was the first one ready and waiting to leave. And so, yes, I knew the Lord, but, you know, I didn't really have that understanding of what it means to have a personal relationship with Him. But I will say I was sad most of the time, except for at church. You know, just something about being at church just lifted my spirits. And also, my dad would have me sing a lot before he preached, or people would call me up to sing, you know, because they knew that I sang, and just the applause from the people, and people would just admire this little boy with a big voice and such conviction and emotion. They were so impressed with that, and so I enjoyed that because that was the only time that I felt loved and, you know, accepted and appreciated.
Right, right. I understand that. We hear that also with artists as well. You know, Michael Jackson had his comfort zone on the stage, but not in society with people as he moved through. When did your relationship with the Lord become real? When did you start to have a transition or an awakening?
Yes. Well, I was a senior in high school, and my family attended I grew up traditional Baptist, well, we call it missionary Baptist, but my mom and my brother and myself, we attended a Pentecostal church one Sunday evening, and as the altar call was extended, I felt compelled. In fact, we all did, the three of us, we felt compelled to go forth, and I tell you, when I got to that altar, I had an encounter with the Lord, and it was just like it was just me and Him. And that was the first time I had experienced that type of thing. And it really developed a hunger in me to be in His presence. And, you know, I started really developing into the things of the Lord and just having a closer walk with Him. So it started when I was a senior in high school.
Well, that's, you know, the Lord for you. And here you are, a young child dealing with all that rejection and being overweight.
Yes.
And then you have this transitional moment with the Lord, and we're going to see where it takes you. Where do you go from there? We're going to find out when we come back with Kendall Triplett.
Why did I ever choose to leave your side, keeper of my soul? Without you, my life is filled with rest. Thought that I could make it on my own. Now I'm calling out your name. But when I think my heart longs to be near you and try again once more.
Where do I go from here? Who do I turn to?
Oh, my God. knows I did you wrong. I'll do anything, yes, anything, just to make it back home. I can see clearly, after spending time alone, pleasures of life don't fill that void when I need someone to lean on. And when I think of all the times
you love me through
before, my heart longs to be near you and try again.
Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans. In case you missed the first few minutes, we have been speaking with Kendall Triplett, who is the wonderful singer of a wonderful CD called Lose Myself, and we're going to get more and more into the music. But that track, Where Do I Go From Here, is one of those really lovely selections, and we just got finished talking about his early childhood and just feelings of rejection and just the initial onset of sadness and depression, but him coming to a moment in his high school years, in his senior year of his high school, and to be able to come to the Lord and really come into his arms in a way that he had not done before. And so I'm curious to know from here, because, you know, you said that music was always a part of your life. Did you think of it as being a career? Did you think of it as something that you would do with your whole life?
Well, Jackie, as you stated, I knew God had given me a special gift, and I knew that I would always be involved in music. But I didn't think that I could do it professionally. I just didn't know how it would all come together. So it was a dream. It was just a dream at that point. But it was a strong desire and urge in me to go forth and do music as a career.
I got some bad news today, almost destroying my faith. Lord, I don't know how much. much more that I can take. My boss came to me, said he don't need me no more. Said collect your things, pack your boxes, there's the door. No feeling sorry, I got down on my knees and prayed to my Lord because I know he's there for me. I heard him speak it, oh so clearly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the rest will be added to me. So
I will.
There we had, but we're back and up with you, and I'm glad you were able to enjoy that in the meantime. It's one of my favorite tracks. I really love that one, and to think that you really didn't think that music could actually be a living for you. It was just a dream, and I want to know about the transitional point. What was that moment in time when you realized, wait a minute, I can do this?
Well, my second year in college, I read a book called Think Big, Unleashing Your Potential for Excellence by Dr. Ben Carson. And the book talked about choosing a career that allows you to use your talents. And so, and you know, finding, that's where you're going to find your success. And so I, after I read that book, I prayed for direction. And I felt peace. I felt like I got my answer after I read that. And so I made a commitment at that point to, you know, to do it, just to do it.
And that's where the "so I will" comes in. You know, you get that word from God. It's not only a natural talent and a natural ability and even a natural desire, but when God puts his stamp on it and says, yes, this is the direction that I want you to go into. And so you set your eyes like a flint and you don't turn away from that. But now we talked earlier about your universal sound, and I think that's great. But we live in an industry that can be very pigeonholing and likes to, you know, put people in a box. So after you started your process of going to your dream, What did you find happening? How did that look for you?
Well, I was often told that, you know, I either sounded too CCM or you know, not gospel enough. So I really didn't know where I fit in, and it seems like, you know, they didn't know where to place me. And so, you know, I faced a lot of rejection and doors closed. And even just trying to develop my own style and my own sound, you know, okay, should I, if I'm too CCM, should I, you know, try to be more gospel, or should I try to, you know, sound more appealing to the Caucasian or my Caucasian audience? So it was a struggle. It was a real struggle.
Right, and it's one that very few artists manage well. And for those of you who are listening, and you might not know what CCM means, but it's contemporary Christian music, and there's usually a great divide in the genres, which really there shouldn't be. And I'm glad for people like Mandisa and Anthony Evans who've been able to cross that divide very well. Cece Winans, I think she was one of the first,
yes,
BB and Cece, to have that,
yes,
crossover appeal, and it didn't matter whether, you know, the country music and contemporary Christian music and gospel music,
yes,
everyone was playing their sound. And so,
right,
you know, but that's not what you're dealing with at this time. You're dealing with people saying, you're either to this or you're either to that. And,
right,
and sometimes people would ask, you know, well, were you trying hard enough? Were you giving it your all? Were you knocking on every door? What were some of the things you were doing as an artist to get yourself out there?
Well, I did everything that I knew to do. I started out doing a lot of research, trying to network. I contacted record labels, music attorneys, producers. I sent out a lot of demos. Then I started, you know, going out and trying to do the talent competitions. I auditioned for Star Search. There was a big one called Gospel Dream at the time. This was before Sunday's Best. I did a showcase called Nashville Video Star Seek. Attended quite a few songwriters workshops, and I also did a Kirk Franklin Unsung Singers Promo talent competition. So
you were really out there.
Yeah. I was doing everything that I could do. And then I came in contact with an attorney who gave me some advice. He said, you know, you need to self-invest. Don't wait for the label to come to you. You know, make them, don't wait for them to come to you. You know, make it, once you put yourself out there, then they will come to you.
I think we're in a very entrepreneurial time where it's a great opportunity to be independent and still get your voice,
yeah,
heard. I'm curious, I'm wondering, though, that, you know, here you are, you're passionate about this thing, the Lord has put his seal on it, and yet you're being faced with all these closed doors. Naturally, a person would get discouraged. So how did,
right,
this whole show itself in you, you know, how did it wear on you emotionally?
Well, many times I did give up. I did get frustrated, but thankfully I have a praying mother who would always encourage me and counsel me. And it's divine how, just, you know, when I decided I was going to throw in the towel, I would receive an invitation. I would receive some type of encouragement. I would get a nice write-up, or I would be invited to appear on this show, or, you know, something that would give me that spark of hope to keep me moving forward. And it, you know, it was just a great reminder that this is what I was called to do. This is what I'm called to do.
So share with us a defining moment where you might have had one of these experiences where you went to an event, or you gave it your all, and you got yet again another door closed. Can you kind of share with us and open the window and let us peer into that moment and see what you would have been feeling as an artist?
Yes, that's a great question. I had mentioned Gospel Dream earlier. That was a large showcase in Atlanta. I think the very first one that was held was in Atlanta. And I was praying about that event, and I just felt good about it. I thought that that's where I was going to get discovered. And even my church congregation, they were behind me. They prayed for me before I attended that event, and so. But when I got there, I think I only you had to go through this selection process. You had to interview. I mean, you had to sing. You had to audition. And I think I could only get out maybe 2 seconds, 2 or 3 seconds before, you know, they said next. And I was really destroyed by that. And that night when I went back to my hotel room, I was just, you know, I was in prayer. I asked God, where do I go from here? I put everything into this, and I thought this is what – I thought you told me that this was going to be my opportunity. I don't know what to do. And so I heard him say to me, come back to me.
Mm.
That was a very defining moment for me.
I mean, I'm still on the fact that you only got 2 or 3 seconds out before
yeah.
it was like, next, move on. I mean, all that work,
yeah.
all that time, all that devotion,
yeah.
I'm
and
sure.
Money yeah.
spent.
Yeah.
That's extremely discouraging. And
yes.
you're there and you're asking the questions that any of us would ask, you know, what next? God, I'm doing everything
right.
that you are telling me to do. Where do I go from
right.
here? And you actually heard him say that to me. You heard him say
yes.
back to me.
I
now,
did.
What did that mean?
Well, I heard those words, and but I just didn't really accept it. The spiritual meaning of it didn't really set in. But I believe at that moment, I was being molded and being beckoned back, and eventually, right now, I'm in the place that he wanted me to be. You know, he was calling me. I heard the call, but I didn't accept the call. I heard it at that moment, but I didn't accept it. And so, you know, I had to go.
Uh-huh. I'm just curious. I'm sorry. I want to know if at that time, if he's saying back to me, do you think, because I know you're saying, you know, when you were in high school, you made a profession of faith, and in college you heard him say, you know, that you wanted to do this, but did you lose connection with him somewhere along the way while pursuing this dream?
Yes, I did, because pursuing the dream had become my God. I really did, and I didn't realize it, but I lost sight of him, and I just... All I did, every waking moment was spent thinking about being a recording artist and how that looks and being successful and, you know, being on the radio and hearing myself on the radio and just being successful and appearing successful before people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what was important to me, and I lost my connection with God.
So there you were in that room, and he said, back to me. And your understanding of that today is that what? What was he trying to say to you?
Well, he was trying to say that he is most important, and I should never seek anything more than I seek him. And I truly understand that now, but I did not accept it back then.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And then
yes,
all
ma'am.
These things shall be added unto you. And we forget Amen. That. We lose that. You
yes.
know, I can relate with you because, you know, I share this story now with my kids, and they roll their eyes and think, how ridiculous were you? But, you know, when I went to college, I left in my junior year. I had a 3.5 GPA, and I left to come to New York City to become a star. That was my focus.
Yeah.
You know, I had just gotten saved that year, interestingly enough, but I didn't have any guidance or direction. And came down, I experienced some of the very similar things you did. You know, I'd walk into one studio and they say, you know, you're too dark, and go around the corner and they'd say you're too light, you know. And if you really didn't have a sense of who you are, you could definitely get lost. You can get lost in all of that. But the issue of seeking the Lord and putting him first came later on, because I did want it initially because of how it made me feel, you know, the applause, like you said, all about me. But now when I hear you say, you know, it's about his glory, and that verse seeking first, there's a certain losing of oneself that has to occur when you're going to seek him first. You know,
yes.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, we're going to play this next track and come back and talk a little bit more.
Jackie Wayans, inspiration through word and song for you.
The lyrics to that song said, "Used to think the world revolved around me, have to lose myself to find you." And when I hear those lyrics, it's so fitting to exactly what you're talking about. Yet, that song was not written by you. Talk to me about how you came across that song and how the two worlds melded together.
Yes, that's so true. That song was written by a wonderful guy named Mike Winans. I reached out to him about being a part of the project, and so he came back with that song, and it was just a divine inspiration. So, I mean, God gave that to him, and I mean, it described exactly what I was going through, so I'm so thankful for that song.
No, the song is extremely beautifully written. It's very touching. And it actually, it has a kind of Anthony Evans feel to me. I really like his music. If I'm at work and I just want to focus and be calm and relaxed, that's my go-to right there.
Yeah.
But it's a lovely sound, but it has so much extra meaning when you've lived it.
It does.
And
it truly does.
Go ahead.
Losing Myself, the concept is premised on Matthew 16:24-26. And this is the Amplified version, and I just want to read these verses because this is key. Verse 24 reads, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own desires, and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. For whoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and security here, shall lose it. And whoever loses his life, his comfort and security here, for my sake, shall find it, life everlasting.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, if you put yourself first, your focus first, you're actually
yes.
going to lose out. And it goes back to the servant's heart. If you're willing to serve and take the low place, you'll actually be exalted. And that's the heavenly kingdom's way of doing things as opposed to the world's way of doing things.
Amen.
Thanks for sharing that. I'm wondering then, so, you know, you came to this place of surrender. How has that changed your outlook on what you do, because you're still in the industry, you're still in music, you're still doing this. So how does it now impact and influence the way you do what you do?
Well, it has completely revolutionized. This concept of losing myself has completely revolutionized my life. What I didn't realize was I had become prideful. I felt like because I was a good Christian, you know, I attended church all the time, and I was supportive with my family and friends, and I just felt like I was entitled to what I wanted. I felt like God owed me something. I felt like He should answer my prayers, and I felt like this career should be done exactly the way I wanted it to be done. And so when it didn't happen that way, I got angry with God, and I walked away from Him for a brief moment. But,
wow.
But now He has shown me that I have to be humble. So like you said, once I surrendered to Him, life has taken on new meaning, and it's truly not about me. So I don't even have to do music. I just want to please Him. And I have found my joy and my desire to live and to serve others and put my – I find myself promoting and encouraging other people. And it's not even about what I want to do or even about my own life. It's about sharing and being a blessing to others. So,
You know, I have run across a few people, just a handful of people like that in my life, but they make such a difference, such an impact on the person that they're dealing with and such an impact on the world. So I
yeah.
definitely encourage you along that path. And just in, you know, the short time that we've had dialogue, I can sense that is a true desire that's coming from you, and it's coming out of your music as well. And I could only imagine that, you know, when you're on stage, that the audience is feeding off of that as well and entering into that experience. I hope that those who've been listening tonight have had that experience, and I'm going to let you tell them in a few minutes where they can find your music, where they can find your CD. But I wanted to kind of backtrack and find out in regards to the rejection and the depression and just, you know, dealing with those things, where are you now with that? And can you speak to our audience about how, if they're dealing with that, how can they face it head on?
Yes. Well, I discovered, well, Amy, you know, I want to give a shout out to, my mom, I want to just want to say thank you to my mom for hanging in there with me and for praying for me, because it's through her prayers that I came to myself, I came to my right mind, and it's because of her prayers that I am here today. And I thank ministries like Kenneth Copeland's ministry. When I was at my lowest point, God led me to his ministry, who really encouraged me. And, you know, I just got the word there, so my faith level started to increase. But I have found that truth, seeking the truth, is what we all need. I was basing my feelings, and I was led by my feelings, and I was basing all of that on a lie. You know, I was thinking, I'm getting older, my talent is declining. I don't sing as well as I used to. You know, in this industry, as you get older, you're not as appealing. And all of those things, all of those lies, the enemy was feeding me. And, you know, I felt that God was against me. I felt that he was purposely closing the door on me. And so I was buying into all these lies, and it was drawing me away from God. Well, I realized that those are lies. And so you need to know the truth. That's why it's so important to get into the word and to start to set truth from a lie. And so I started – before this, I would casually pick up the scripture, casually pick up the Bible, but I started to develop a hunger, because the truth is what brought light to me. You know, and when light shows up, the darkness has to leave. And so the Word of God became very, very dear to me. And so I encourage others to seek truth. And stand against the lie. Don't believe a lie. Reject the lie. In fact, you have to rebuke it. You have to tell the devil to go. You are a liar. And the truth is this, and I'm standing on the truth. And so that has become my mode of operation is, as you stated earlier, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. And so I seek his righteousness, and I keep his truth before me, and hearing it all the time and reading it and speaking it is how I have come out of this this decline, and I'm on the incline now. Glory to God.
And, you know, that's a key point that you bring out there. You know, the truth shall set you free, but you've got to make it active. And, you know, one of the things you shared about Kenneth Copeland, when I was I went back to finish my college degree 15 years later as an adult with three kids, and you could just imagine what that would be like. And some days were just really difficult just to get out of bed and make it to the train station, much less through a whole course of classes. And what I literally did was I took a CD that had all the promises, right? And I wrote out the ones that were specific to me. And I would have flashcards and literally, you know, would either play the audio or use the flashcards, because I had to completely renew my mind. My mind was so used to negative thoughts, so used to believing the lies, that I had to reprogram myself. And so if you're in that place, you have got to actively apply the word of truth to your mind and to your mouth. You have to speak out into the atmosphere, as you said earlier today, because just keeping it in your head, it only allows those two voices to go back and forth with each other. But when you speak it out into the atmosphere, into the air, it gives it power. And the other thing is, you talked about being prideful and needing to humble yourself. Cry out for prayer. There should be at least one or two or three people in your life that you can just shoot them a simple email. You don't need a confirmation or a little text. You don't need to go through a big explanation. You just simply say, "Help, I need prayer now," you know, and to allow that prayer to work on your behalf, because we try to carry too many things ourselves. And you know, and everything that you're saying here, you know, I don't even see how someone who's not a believer can make it through in this industry or in life, really. And so I always share on this show Romans 10:9-10 that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you shall be saved, and then you'll be able to access his power, access his spirit, access his love in a way that you haven't before. So I know I'm doing a lot of talking, but I just wanted to make sure that those who are listening really understand what this relationship is, and that though we still go through it, we're not going through it alone.
Amen.
And, you know, I wanted to ask you, time is going so quickly, I wanted to ask you also, do you find that, because you also said just a little while ago that you're on the brink of it, and you know that you're on the verge of something. And sometimes that's when more attacks or more difficulties or more oxymoron-type situations start to evolve in our lives. Do you find that to be true?
Yes, I do find that to be true. And I went through a period of, as I stated before, I went through a period where I got so angry with God. I said, you're not going to make it happen. So I'm just going to, you know, this Christian thing isn't for me. And so I continued to go to church, but I just gave up my conviction. And, you know, I just started to take wrong steps and do things that I knew wasn't right, but I didn't care. I treated people any kind of way. And so, you know, and I had to hit rock bottom, but by his grace, I came to this resolve. I said to myself that you know what's best for me, and I let go, and I give it up, because I was trying to carry it and make something happen. That's why it was such a struggle mm-hmm. for me. I was trying to force something, and so but when I surrendered and gave up, that weight lifted, And, you know, I was set free, and so I'm just so thankful to God for his grace. He allowed me the opportunity to come into the knowledge and, you know, to be enlightened. And so I stand today strong in faith, giving glory to him, and it's all about him. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be speaking with you.
Well, I know I, for one, will be bearing you up in prayer. Please tell us where we can get hold of you, where we can get our hands on the music.
Okay, kendalltriplett.com. That's KendalltriplettT.com. You can find it online. You can go to iTunes, Amazon Music, Google Play, eMusic, pretty much wherever you purchase your music online, it's there, available.
That's wonderful. It's called Lose Myself.
Yes.
And we're going to listen to one more track before we go out, called Awesome, because truly God is awesome, and he's done awesome things in your life.
Yes.
I also want to let people know, if they enjoy what they're hearing from Don't Give Up Radio, you can also find me on Facebook. You just simply type in Don't Give Up Radio. Make sure that radio is on there, and like the page, and you'll continue to get more inspiring, make it to the next step, the next breath, inspirational stories from real people who are depending on God, because, you know, all of us have these midnight hours, but you can make it through the other side, and this show is designed to help you do that. So I'm thankful that you've been able to share with us tonight. You've been a wonderful guest, and I look forward to hearing and seeing more of you.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's take a listen to Awesome, and until next week, I want all of you to be your own best hero, and don't let yourself down, because the greatest hero of all gave his life for you. He said that you were worth it. I have an awesome, excellent, fantastic guest next week. I don't even want to give you any heads up right now, because it is so fantastic. But there's some, it's too juicy, too good. So you just have to tune in. Tune in next week. It's going to be absolutely awesome. And we're going to go out to Awesome right now.
My heart's so grateful, Lord, with your blood I've been redeemed. Your grace
him, I must be crazy. Thinking I can catch him by saying he's amazing. Surely I can sing it, but even if I had a thousand tongues, I would still fall short when I praise him. But still, I gotta tell the world about his worth. And tell every person I meet that he's perfect. Even if they curse me, I still glorify his name unashamed, cause he's worth it. Yeah.